You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today we have with us Pastor Doug Earls. He pastored Calvary Chapel Church in Buffalo, Missouri for 33 years. And he has now transitioned to a retiree, if you will. He's serving the Lord in other ways. But today, Dr. Earls is going to talk to us about what we can do in the fourth quarter, so to speak, of our lives to follow the Lord and serve Him. And so, Dr. Doug, it's so good to have you here. Thank you for joining us on the Better Together podcast.
Eddie, it's my privilege, and I'm really thankful to be here.
So. Well, I appreciate you stopping in. Now, you talk a lot about the sleeping giant in the church. So. Yes. Tell us a bit about the sleeping giant. Who is the sleeping giant in the church, and how might we awaken them?
Well, it's the baby boomers, and the baby boomers went from the me generation to now they're the elderly generation, which we don't want to admit that we're elderly, but what an opportunity. Statistically, 70 to 80% of boomers, when they retire, want to continue to do some sort of worthwhile work. So this is an ideal opportunity for pastors. They have this whole cadre of 75 million people that they can draw from, that have the time, that have the expertise, that have the money, finances, to be an asset to their church. But with the boomers, it's a little different. If you called it a senior, they're not going to come. They don't believe in the disengagement theory of where we separate everybody. They like being with everyone. They like to be young and do young things. And so this is a group that's eager and willing and wanting to do something worthwhile. Many of them have worked in a setting of where they made a good salary. They did things. They went on trips. But as they reflect back on their life in that fourth quarter, they begin to realize, what have I really done that's significant for God? Because, when they put us in the ground, the only thing that's going to really matter to people is what we've done for the Lord. And so this is a group of people that are willing and eager, but at the same time, pastors need to be aware that you need to not misplace them. You need to look at their talents and their abilities and their gifts and try to plug them in. And there's just an abundant amount of opportunities in the church that they can serve in.
So you as a pastor, and now transition, Pastor Mark is there, but you guys have carried this on at Calvary Chapel. I have been able to witness that you have a lot of these retirees that are very active there at Calvary Chapel. If I'm a boomer, or I'm someone that is retired, so to speak, what are some things I might think about? What are some things I might do to really be used of the Lord at this particular stage in my life?
Well, at this stage of your life, you have these life experiences. And sometimes when we look around, we start thinking, well, what can I do? And so sometimes we need to have someone come alongside us, a pastor, a church leader, and just kind of help us plug into the things. And then the church, as it has all kinds of worthwhile ministries, a lot of times it's not tooting our own horn, but it's letting people know about the needs. We have a food distribution program. Once a month, we distribute food to about 320 families, and it takes 50 volunteers, and that's done during the day. And those 50 volunteers are retirees, and we fix a nice meal for them. And for many of them, it's their highlight. We also have a lot of office volunteers who come in and help us. And for them, it's the highlight of their time. And then we also try to help them help each other. And that just naturally happens. But it doesn't naturally happen sometimes if we don't have connection points. And so you've got to develop those connection points. Let them know we need you, come and be a part of this. And then you have to understand that the boomer generation, they are retired, they are going to travel. And so I know as a pastor, I loved it when people did children's church forever. And those days are not present. And so we still have those people that are really unique and But you have to have some flexibility because the boomers will take vacations. They will do some traveling, but you'll discover that the boomers can network with each other. And if you give them the responsibility over an area and tell them you're responsible for this, and if you're going to be gone, can you get someone? It is amazing how they can resource others to take over that responsibility while they're gone.
So really you got into what church leaders do in that last part was we have to adapt to them.
Yes.
They want to go on trips. They want to be at different places. And so we may not have them every week. So I'm a pastor, I'm a church leader, and I look, tell me a little bit more about what I can do as a church leader to try to involve them, to try to utilize them in their unique skill set, unique gift set.
You know, it takes some thought and a tremendous amount of prayer. And as I said, you have to make sure that they understand the boomer generation. We don't like to be put where we're uncomfortable. And so you try to make things as comfortable as possible, explaining what's going on and giving them an opportunity to pray about something and showing them the necessity of this and how you need them. A lot of people, as they go through retirement, all of a sudden they're trying to discover, where do I fit in? Am I still important? And absolutely they are. So you have to let them know you are extremely important to us. We need you. But all of this difficulty that's going on in our society today, the breakdown of the family, young people that need mentoring, the boomer generation is the people that are right there. Even on Wednesday night during our Bible studies, we purposely have some of our boomer generation interact with our teens and our middle schoolers as workers. And sometimes we'll have more than perhaps you might think we need, but what they're doing is they're talking and interacting with the kids and mentoring them and letting the kids know, you know, that you are important to us and we're here. Multi-generational ministries, we don't talk a lot about it, but there is some conflict sometimes with generations, but it doesn't have to be war. And these boomers, once they understand these kids and they sit down with them and they realize I can make a difference here, just so many different ministries, the food program, they see that they're actually giving people food. We had 50 men of young people, middle-aged and older, that all cut wood for the elderly in our church. And they spent the day cutting wood together. But the dividends there was wonderful because they interacted together. They developed a relationship. But you have to provide those connection points. And that means that the pastor and church leaders need to sit down and think and pray about what kind of things are we doing that we can get people involved. And then you have to know your people. What person in our church is a good person, a good fit for this? And let's talk to them. And, you know, mentoring is always going to take more time on the front end, but it pays tremendous dividends later. And so you have to put that front time in of mentoring those boomers and helping them walk them through it. And then once you release the ministry to them, God does wonderful and great things through them.
That's good. Now, I mentioned earlier that I was there. I've been there a couple of times at Calvary Chapel. I've seen this at work, and I've also seen what you all are doing with retirees throughout the state of Missouri. And I have been able to observe and hear from many of your folks talk about, number one, things they're doing within the church. But I've also heard from a great number who have gone back as volunteers or gone back to work a little bit in their particular settings. And I have heard you and other leaders like Pastor Wayne talks about this a bit at the retirement retreat about the attitude that one would have, especially when they're working with millennials or Generation Z. And so share with us a bit about what you all are stressing. I'm a retiree and I'm working. You kind of alluded to it a little bit, but I'm working with generations that think a little bit different. How is it that I can be effective as a retiree in working with these younger generations?
And that's real important because the generations do have some generational distinctiveness. And the younger generation, you know, when I was in graduate school or teaching graduate school, my students, it was different then. I was the professor and I was the one giving information. Now, the younger generation wants to interact with you in a different way. And I've discovered that they have a knowledge base that I don't, especially with electronic devices and things. And so that helps develop a bond there. But there are three things that we tell our retirees that if you're going to have credibility, and credibility is so important, there's three things that you must do. First of all, you need to stop isolating and you need to start engaging, because a lot of times we see, well, these young people are different and so I'm not going to have a part with them. So don't isolate yourself. You need to engage. The second thing, and this is so important, I've discovered that as I get older, sometimes I don't feel as good. But you got to stop complaining. Nobody likes complaining. Complaining is not going to solve anything. They don't make statues to the complainers. It's the ones people complain about. So you start encouraging. And that is a mindset thing. Instead of saying, you know, I don't feel good, or these kids are this or that, you start encouraging them. And the third thing is you stop demanding. When we get older, we start losing some things. And because of that, church is one thing that we don't want to lose control over. And first of all, we're not in control of it. God is. But we need to stop demanding and we need to start equipping. So you have to be willing to engage, you have to be willing to encourage, and you have to be willing to equip. And if you are committed to those three things, God's going to use you in a great way to touch a lot of lives.
That's great. And so there's a lot, a key is attitude, and you kind of alluded to it, like Philippians 4, rejoicing in the Lord, Philippians 4, 8, you know, the right things to think about to help us be effective. And so you guys in Missouri at Calvary Chapel, you focused a lot on getting boomers, getting retirees involved themselves in ministry within the church and within the community. Mm-hmm. You've also mentioned in the past how the boomers are the largest generation in the U.S. And I'll say from these Know Your Community reports that we're running on our churches, it is the number one population in more church communities than anything else. And so it's one thing to minister as retiree, but we also have a large number of these folks, and you've talked about this in the past, who are lost. Talk to us a little bit about whether we're retired or whether we're just a person listening, what is it that we might do to be able to reach a boomer with the gospel? Because there's so many of them that are lost and don't know Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I was reading an article that said up to 2/3 of boomers are unchurched, which means 50 million people. That's in the United States. So as we try to get the boomers engaged, we need, once again, those entry points. It could be something as simple as having a brunch and encouraging the boomers to invite their friends, having a speaker that's addressing something. Most boomers have prepared financially for retirement, but they did not prepare physically. And a lot of them are having a lot of physical issues that are very treatable, and you can be proactive with those things. And we brought in a physical therapist friend of mine, and he talked about balance and just keeping your balance and those kinds of things. And we had 50 or 60 boomers, and a lot of those were unchurched people that came in to hear how they can continue physically to do the right things. We have to remember that the boomers have more time. They are more aware of the brevity of life. They're more aware of how fragile life is, because they see that. And then they are trying to discover, where do I fit in? And so a lot of people who are lost, they're trying to think, where do I fit in? Life doesn't make sense for what I've done. And I've got money and maybe I've got this, but I don't have the meaning for my life. There's something missing. And we know that what's missing is Christ. So there has to be an openness of the boomer generation, and also for the church, that this is a great group of people to reach, and they're reachable because they're trying to figure out what's going on. And we know what's going on. We know that the Lord puts everything in the right perspective.
That's great. So we see a lot of concerns about health. They may be okay financially, but with what's happened recently in the stock market. Many of them are concerned about that. And so what I'm hearing you say is things you might do during the day at the church, like you have this physical therapist come in and talk about balance and how that can help you. They're doing it within the church and they see you as kind of an outlet to helping them, and maybe more open to spiritual talks and so forth, or just visiting your church.
That's right. It opens a dialogue. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So it's a wonderful thing. Well, I just thank you for what you've done and what you're doing. Dr. Earls, this is wonderful. Is there anything else you think of that you'd like to share with our listeners before we close off today?
Oh, there's so much, because, you know, for years I did leadership training, and now just because of age, I've kind of flipped over to doing a lot of things for retirees and boomers. But there's three stages that you go through in retirement. There's the go-go stage of where when you first retire, you have the health and you are able to do things. But then you revert to the go slow. And this is usually depending on your health in the 70s or 80s. And when we're talking about health, we haven't even addressed the mental health issues and slowing down Alzheimer's and some of the things that we do that helps bring on early onsets of that. But then you go to the no-go. And a lot of the people that are in the builder generation are in the no-go stage. They're shut-ins or on the go slow. And so when we're talking about retirees, we have to be really careful of putting everyone in the same basket, because they're in one of these three baskets. And each one of those are different needs, but each one of those have a tremendous amount of things to contribute to the church and to the Lord. Even when you're in the no-go, those are the people that are prayer warriors. Grandma Resty lived to be 103, and every week I'd visit with her, and she wanted the church bulletin because she wanted to pray over the prayer request. And so what a wonderful ministry that is, even as they can't get out of their homes and shut in. So
there's something where we can intervene with wherever they would be, and there's something for them to do wherever they could be. One last thing, you did allude to it a bit. Sometimes, you know, there are technology deficits, but you've talked a lot in the past about cross-generational mentoring, cross-generational works, really a Titus II kind of thing. How about sharing a little bit about that as well? Because that's a way that boomers receive something from younger folks and younger folks receive something from boomers. How does that cross-training kind of work?
Okay, let me just give you an example. We're getting ready for our Christmas program, and we have some people who are boomers that are working with our high schoolers building the stage for it. And as they're interacting, they're learning some skills from each other. And then our middle schoolers are working with some boomers on their puppet ministry, you know, building the stages and doing that. And then with our children's choir, it's mostly boomers that are working with them, helping them and encouraging them. But with the teenagers, one of the things that happens with them is that they have their electronic devices. And so the people working with them, instead of, you know, saying, what is that? Get that, put that away. They'll say, can you show me how to do that? And oh my, it opens up. You want me to show you how to do this? Yeah. Can you show me how to do that? And so it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. It lets them know that, hey, you're important to me. Yeah, I'm older than you and I can teach you some things, but you can teach me some things too. And so it kind of breaks down those walls and it bonds them together, if that helps. So,
and it helps. It enhances the boomer or the retiree's life too. They're able to hear things on apps and just makes for a much easier life, if you will. And like you mentioned, there's nothing like asking someone for help, receiving help. There's nothing quite like that psychologically, but also spiritually, it's a Titus II situation, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Where then we're feeding back and forth to one another.
That's right.
Well, I so appreciate you sharing this information with us today. I so appreciate what you all are doing, not just at Calvary Chapel, but how you have made this in the state of Missouri such a focus, where you guys, you come together, you learn, you work together, and really seems like you have a lot of fun.
We do.
And so thank you for what you're doing for each other that helps each other be stronger, kind of like a Galatians 6:2 situation, but also how you're trying to use your gifts, kind of like the rest of Romans 12, where we're really seeing you do that and impact your community with the gospel. Thank you, Dr. Earls, for what you're doing.
Thank you, Eddie, and thank you for what you're doing too.
We want to thank you, our listeners. Thank you for taking the time to listen into this podcast today. We want to encourage you to take this podcast, share it with someone that you think might benefit from it. If you could, how about liking it on Facebook? We encourage you to subscribe to the YouTube channel and encourage others to do that. Maybe write a review. Remember, every little thing that we do matters. Every little thing helps. And we truly are better when we work together. We're better together. Thank you for joining us today.